Let's bow our heads. If we need to use the recovery procedures found in 1 John 1:9, let us do so at this time that we might be in fellowship. Father, we thank you for the privilege and opportunity to study your word and for the freedom that you have provided for us here in Corpus Christi, Texas, USA. Furthermore, we express our appreciation to God the Holy Spirit, who will enlighten us regarding the message this evening. We as priests pray this to the person of our Lord Jesus Christ, our High Priest. Amen. Genesis 2:7. Then the Lord God, a reference to the deity of Christ, God the Son, formed man of the minerals from the soil. Now, when this is biological life, that's the first thing he formed. So biological life, as we're going to see, preceded soul life in the garden, as it does even now, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of lives. What is that referring to? Soul life and the human spirit were breathed in. Now, soul life was imputed to biological life. But you got to ask yourself, what part of biological life? Namely, the part of biological life called the format soul, what the current is called the format soul, located in the brain. In other words, the format soul is biological life. He called it format soul. It's not the soul. It's a place for the soul to connect into. It's like electric socket. See, because in the soul you have conscious, self-consciousness, mentality, and volition. Now, until the soul connects into the brain, there's no thought. So in the womb, there's no, even though the fetus, as it's developing, the blastocyst embryo fetus is developing, there's no thought because there's no soul life. So not until the fetus emerges, and God, I guess God the Son, he's the creator of all things, creates a soul and imputes it. And then once it connects, moves into the form, into that part of biological life called the format soul, where it's designed to connect. Because the soul relates through the brain. They work together. And then you have thought for the first time. And man becomes a living being, literally a soul with life. The merging of soul life with biological life, which merger produces human life. Okay. And now we're in Revelation 9. Let's move to where we left off. You know, when I review things, I always read through it and make changes. I try to improve it. And, for example, we're starting now at Gate 4, Cosmic Panaceas. I basically rewrote that whole thing, a lot of it, to make it clearer. Rejection of the laws of divine establishment. See, we're going to Cosmic 2. We introduced the cosmic system because the cosmos was mentioned. But the part that is pertinent is Cosmic 2, not Cosmic 1, so I didn't want to repeat that. And that's very long. So we're just going to go through, we're going through Cosmic 2, which has got 1 through 9, gates 1 through 9. Again, cosmic, so this is rejection. Now we have cosmic cure-alls, panaceas. Rejection of the laws of divine establishment and the delegated authority assigned to them result in the substitution of false solutions to the problems of life. See, Satan always has a false solution to God's solutions with their true solutions. These false solutions are called cosmic panaceas, or we could say Satan's brilliant ideas, being sarcastic, of course. The function of seeking solutions to the problems of life apart from truth in its three categories. The laws of divine establishment, the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, and Bible doctrine. Cosmic panaceas are no substitute for divine solutions, which are resident in the protocol plan of God. just like it's the, I don't think this is ever going to make it. I don't think this is going to happen. Remember that the Fed is not federal. It's not a bank. I guess the Federal Exchange Bank, whatever it stands for, but it's designed to confuse people. It's again, the Fed is a international banking cartel. Now, and what they want to introduce, now again, I don't think they're going to be successful. They want to introduce a digital, what they call a digital banking, digital current, banking, digital banking, kernel, central bank, CBD, I guess, central bank digital currency. I also couldn't remember what the C was. That's central bank. And they want one that's for everybody in the whole world. See, because now you say, why such a thing? Now, Satan wants to control, right? Satan is the ruler of the world. And he wants, in order for him to control, he's got to centralize, he's got to concentrate his power. And so, obviously, he's behind this. So that's why I don't think it's going to work, because my viewpoint is the Lord's going to shut that down. It might, to some extent, but never not completely successful. Because that would give Satan, because that's an attack against nationalism. That's an international attempt to completely centralize one's control. The central banks would have that control, but they're working for, as it were, for obviously for Satan. Satan be used them to have his control. Cosmic panaceas demand a full mobilization. See, that's a panacea, the central bank digital currency for, it should be in every nation should have their own currency, as it always was in the past. And it's amazing when the euro came out, you know, they have all these officials now. They're not elected by the people at all. They're not related to that at all. Like, there's the one guy they call him a secretary general. They have all these terms, you know. This guy has, I don't know what his power is. There's some official in the European Union. And they call him the secretary general. He's a general. He's just some kind of a liberal nut. You know, but it's amazing how... But they're having all kinds of problems, so that thing's going to eventually break up, I would think. Cosmic panaceas are not a solution that lasts. They're satanic. Cosmic means from Satan. Cosmic panaceas demand a full mobilization of arrogance, pride, and jealousy, so that self-righteousness, legalism, personality arrogance, authority arrogance, and Christian service arrogance, and crusader arrogance, etc., and crusader arrogance are utilized. When implementing a cosmic panacea, both authority and freedom are sacrificed on the altar of equality. For example, you have a central bank digital currency. That's your privacy and your freedom is gone. Because they'll know every transaction. If you pay somebody to cut your grass, that kid, whoever your pay is, he's going to have to pay taxes on that. They'll know that he earned that income. You give somebody, you want to just give somebody $5 or something. You cannot. It's going to be digital currency. See, here's $10. I just want to buy you a cup of coffee. You know, that's going to be on the record. There's none of that. Which that was nice. They always understood that was nice. And you give a gift out once in a while. Parents would give gifts to children once in a while. And that was okay. The government understood that was okay. But now, if they ever manage to implement a central bank currency, they'll have every transaction. And plus, if they don't like you, they can empty your account. Or they say you won't be able to travel. I know one of the guys on TV, he was going to go, I think he's kind of a troublemaker, but, maybe they're right to revoke his passport. I don't know, but he was going to fly to Russia for some conference there, and all of a sudden he got to the airport. And see, that's when you have these passports and you have digital currency, they have control. And all of a sudden, it wasn't taken; it was revoked. But in his case, maybe. I can see why. Probably they revoked it. I won't mention his name. Cosmic panaceas regarding economy attack freedom in the marketplace. Laws may guarantee equal opportunity, but no sane government would attempt to provide equality, such as in mental health, mental ability, strength, motivation, love, nauseam. But an arrogant legislative body made up of both Christians and unbelievers try to make us all equal economically. But such cosmic ideas as taxing the rich to feed the poor. See, now we have a little different. See, this is, we say this is the way it normally is, taxing the rich to feed the poor. But now it's taxing the middle class out of existence to support the ultra wealthy, to make the ultra wealthy richer, because through inflation, they've become richer and richer. But that's beyond taxation. Now it's a little different. See, now what's happening right now, the big boys, take, for example, head of IBM, Bill, what? Bill Gates. Yeah, Bill Gates. You know, he's got this big foundation. He uses it all for political reasons, but he don't pay any taxes. He's got his big foundation, and so he doesn't pay much in taxes. So it's working a little bit differently now than it was before. And when you in inflation, they tend to hold assets that inflate, and so they do very well. So these days, the 1% are becoming richer and richer and richer. And as a matter of fact, people don't realize the Fed, since it's an international banking cartel, has stocks, which apparently only a few people can buy. And so some of these people, they own that, and they're getting richer and richer and richer. The 1% or 2%, or probably the 1%, are becoming extremely wealthy. So that's okay too, because the Lord is using, I think, I can see the Lord is using that to punish the average Joe on the street, because he's also involved in evil. Remember, God always uses evil to punish evil. Even when Joseph was the prime minister of Egypt, everybody knew Joseph told everybody there's going to be, he made it clear. I'm sure it went throughout the society, there'd be 7 years of prosperity, and then be seven lean years. But how many people believe that? Just like if you tell the truth now, nobody's going to believe you. So my guess is a lot of those Egyptian farmers and stuff, they would have had a chance to save some money, put some aside too, but most of them did not. So when that seven lean years came, they had to sell their property. And so most of them, they sold their property and they became, as it were, indentured servants to the government, but only because they could have done that too, because they had seven tremendous years of tremendous prosperity in Egypt. But only Joseph, because he knew, he believed God's word, he knew that seven lean years are coming. So he stored up. He was keeping a record. Finally, he was storing so much grain and stuff, he finally quit keeping even a record of it. But when it came, then they needed to be fed, and he would buy their land. He said, okay, you give me your farm. And he took it and gave it to the Pharaoh. But you say, well, you feel sorry for all those farmers that lost their land. But then again, they were evil themselves, more likely. And during the 7 years of great prosperity, they probably had a chance to put some money aside or some grain to aside as well. But they didn't believe it, obviously. Why would they believe it? They're Egyptians. They weren't believers. So that's the way it goes. So now we say, but this is generally true. We taxing the rich to feed the poor. That's wrong too. Under the concept of redistribution of wealth, that's an evil concept. That's a cosmic panacea. Redistribution of wealth. Well, they say that if FEMA's already, they got laws already passed that if everything shuts down, they'll go door to door and see what you have stockpiled. And then they will assess your situation. If they think it's too much for you, they'll take it. They'll seize it. Because already the laws say the individual rights are gone. The collective has priority over the individual. In other words, freedom is gone. That's what communism says. Yes, so that's the cosmic panacea. So FEMA will come to your door and say, with with some officers, of course. And they come in and say, you have no choice. They only want to look at your premises. Open up your freezers and check your closets. Too many weapons. What do you got all this? Check. You know, I see you got a lot of ammo. You got way more than you need. You take that too. Well, now if that happens, don't blame me if I fly out of this country. That would really irritate me. But anyways, it could happen in another country too. As a matter of fact, in the Philippines, they came door to door and they almost forced the people to get vaccinated. They came door to door in the Philippines. You weren't vaccinated, you need to be vaccinated. At least they didn't do that here, right? So under the concept of redistribution of wealth, redistribution of wealth is an evil concept. Emphasizing the collective over the neutralizing, blotting out the rights of the individual is evil. The individual has rights, so his property is sacred. That's what the Bible says, sacred. Whatever you own is your property, it's sacred. You own a couple of weapons, you own a few bullets, and you have a sack of food for 6 months or so. That's yours. It's not theirs, but they'll take it. The laws are already in place. They're authorized to take it already. The breakup of successful business enterprises. See, here's another thing that destroys a lot of businesses is inheritance tax. See, that's evil in itself, because here is a farmer, he's got a family farm, and the old man is about ready to retire, and he wants to give it to his children. By the time he pays inheritance tax, he's got to break up the farm. They so much tax, he cannot just hand it over to them, and you lose. The economy suffers that way. These family farmers are very good. Some are generation after generation, they've been farmers, and these days especially, it's almost impossible for them to continue as family farmers, passing it on from one generation to another way because of the confiscatory taxes. The confiscation and inflation. See, inflation is a hidden tax. They get nailed twice. Like, you know, you have a business, like a couple of people are in business, you're dealing with inflation and you've got taxes besides. But inflation sometimes is a much greater tax than the tax you're paying. The confiscation of property. And governments love inflation because most people don't realize that's a hidden tax. They can tax. And plus all the other taxes. There was some article I was going through, and they listed all the taxes that are in the United States. It's unbelievable. Taxes for, there's luxury tax. Even a hunting license is a tax. You're putting a little license on your car is a tax. You know, there's taxes. It just wears you out. That's why Eileen and I were on the airplane, and we were in one of the airports, and we met this guy. He was, I believe he was Filipino. Or was he Thai? I believe he was Filipino. And his son, he became an American citizen, I believe, and his son did very well in the United States, and I think ended up working for the CIA. But he said he finally decided to go back to the Philippines. He said there's a lot more stress in the United States because of all these things. And then if you own property, you can get sued for any reason. Then if someone intrudes in your house and you shoot the bastard, well, then they can take you to court and take you and just clean you out. And if you win the trial, by the time you get done, you got nothing left. I mean, all this evil, it gets tiring. And he said he finally got kind of tired of it. He decided to go back to the Philippines and relax. It's more relaxing. So, and I can see here, it's just one thing after. I don't think I'd want to, even if I had the opportunity to buy a house, I would think twice about it. If nothing else, just from the standpoint of lawsuits. You know, I'm finding out that from what I understand, because everybody around my neighborhood now, they're fixing the sidewalks in front of your house, they're fixing. I thought the city was in charge of that. But apparently the homeowner is responsible for the condition of that sidewalk. and someone trips over that sidewalk and decides to sue you because you didn't fix those sidewalks and there's a little ridge there or something, they can take you to court, and they, and the courts are, people are just erring. They take the side of these idiots, these people that want free money. You heard about this guy in, here's another story. This is ridiculous. Guy in Las Vegas. Well, he was in bed in a fancy hotel and a scorpion bit him in the, in his private parts. Okay. So it bit him. So what? He didn't die. It was painful. It didn't cost him anything. Well, except they should have paid for his hospital. He went to the hospital for a couple of days. Okay, they paid. No, that wasn't enough. Oh, he's going to sue like maybe $300,000 or $400,000, maybe $500,000, and he'll probably get it. Oh, this is stealing. That's stealing. So you're entitled for medical expenses, but then he was saying, oh, he can't sleep at night anymore because of this, that experience. This is just nonsense. If he can't sleep at night, he needs to become a believer and learn some doctrine. So, but he just used that excuse to become, make money the easy way. Now, if I was in charge, I would not fix that guy to put about 5 scorpions there. Okay, the breakup of successful business enterprises. The confiscation of property. The nationalization of industry. And the passing of laws to suit or conform to this false doctrine of economic equality. Cosmic panaceas inevitably result in big government fat with bureaucrats and little people with less and less freedom in terms of rights, privacy, and property. And we see that in the United States. This boy is moving fast. We're losing more and more privacy and more. And property rights, they say, have already been removed. We really, there's no property rights left, apparently, not in the books. So you might be under the illusion you still own your property, but apparently in the books, you really do not have any property rights. Now that's why, when I say fat with bureaucrats, that's why this Doug Casey, he lives in Uruguay. Well, no, he lived between Uruguay and Argentina. Now that Argentina's got a person that's got some sense, then he's going to live there for a while, apparently. But he said the first thing you can do if you're a good leader, if you can get away with it, you got to get rid of, you got to knock, you got to get, he said, knock out 90% of the bureaucrats right off the bat. If somebody doesn't do that, then they're really not doing anything. And we got all these organizations, OSHA, FEMA, EPA, and even those are just intrusive bureaucrats, just make life difficult for a lot of people. And then you got the Department of Labor, the Department of Interior, Department of Education. Why do we need the Department of Education? Department of Energy. Why do we need the Department of Energy? We got private people in private enterprise handling energy. All this stuff, all this bureaucracy, and all this subcategory. It just keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger. They never get smaller. They keep growing until the nation is suffocated by all this stuff. Now, the only way a nation can change, you got to change from the grassroots. People have to believe in Jesus Christ and learn doctrine, and the Christians are not learning doctrine, have to come back to Bible doctrine. Until that happens, forget it. And the way I look at the United States, it doesn't look good now, but it may change, but I don't see any place in the world, except there is some possibility I see in the Philippines. Some pastors are coming around. There seems to be a lot of pastors there that want to teach the truth now. And maybe in some other countries as well. I don't know. But the United States does not look good from that viewpoint. Cosmic panaceas advocate the criteria that make people slaves to the state instead of the government being the servant of the people. I think when Trump was in the last time, I think he finally said he wasn't going to hire any more people in these bureaucracies, but I think he finally did. That's one way of slowly whittling it down, not hiring any. When people retire, just don't fill the spots. But I don't think he held that very long. Cosmic panaceas are based on self-righteous arrogance. Cosmic panaceas promote prejudice, violence, terrorism, and wealth warfare. And you have to realize, here's another thing. The United States has become, had become weak long, for a long time, slowly become weaker and weaker and weaker. I'll give you an example. In 1965, I think it was August 2nd, this thing broke, I think it was August 2nd when it broke out, what they call the Watts riots in Los Angeles. And the American, we didn't know what to do. And they burnt down 100 square blocks of Los Angeles. There's a black riots. Now, the problem is, a lot of these blacks were decent people, but they were stirred up. And you had, what's that? You had that one guy was speaking at the time, and his sermons, what's his name? That black leader? Martin Luther King. That was during his period. And of course, he didn't take credit for it, but he was stirring them up. And, of course, he didn't advocate that necessarily, but you keep stirring people up, then that happens. And then, but nobody would do anything about it. Now, you all know Walter Brennan, that famous actor. He was in a lot of cowboy shows, Walter Brennan. Walter Brennan said, all it would have taken is one machine gun, and that would have put an end to it. And because he made that statement, he went on to explain. He said, a lot of these blacks are decent people, but they've been stirred up by just a handful of agitators. But you need to stop it. And he suggested using a machine gun. Well, and that YouTube was labeled as the most evil man in Hollywood, Walter Brennan. This guy said because he advocated that. Now he could have, and about 30 or 40 people lost their lives, and plus all that property was destroyed, and it could have been a lot less loss of life if they just would have went in and said, we're going to a machine gun. Probably wouldn't even have to shoot anybody. But nothing. Nobody shot. Not at first. They finally brought in the National Guard, about 14,000 members of the National Guard. I think a few National Guard did finally shoot a few people because their lives were in danger because they had snipers too. So, but see, we're weak. Weak in the brain. Nobody wanted to shoot anybody. Ultimately, you save lives. So that's why one person labeled, he said, they said that Walter Brennan was known, became known by the liberals in Hollywood as the most evil man in Hollywood. Here's a guy that signed up for World War I, got gassed. That's one reason why his voice changed. It damaged his vocal cords. And later on, someone knocked out his teeth. And that also affected his speech. But that made him popular. He looked like an old man by that time, but he really wasn't. But his voice was destroyed by mustard gas in World War I. And so a great patriot, never was involved in crime. And yet he was labeled as the most evil man in Washington, in Hollywood by some liberal, I guess. So when the liberals label you as the most evil, then you know how great, you have to really be great. Too many believers are influenced by such cosmic panaceas as socialism, Marxism. See, Marxism really is a type of socialism. So was the Nazis. Nazis, that was a socialistic system, Nazism. And other anti-biblical idealisms, which blind them to the evil of cosmic panaceas. But you realize when the Nazis were in charge of Germany, there was almost no crime. Except the crime by the Nazis. Whatever crime they wanted to commit was okay, because they wouldn't permit any other crime. So all other crime came to a standstill because they just would execute people. They didn't like competition. They say even in Las Vegas, you know, at one time, I'm not sure if they still do that. There's very low crime in Las Vegas. And the reason is if you caused too much trouble, they just took you out in the desert and buried you out there. The mafia did. Because they didn't want a bad reputation in Las Vegas. They wanted people to come there and feel secure. Though government may guarantee equal opportunity, no government or personal interest group can create equality in the human race. Only God can create equality, which is done for anyone who will believe in Christ. First at salvation, all new believers are provided with 40 assets equally, after which all these believers are given equal opportunity to execute the spiritual life. This equal opportunity in the spiritual life will inevitably produce inequality, as equal opportunity guarantees inequality, as demonstrated in both the temporal and spiritual realm. So when you have great inequality in a society, that implies great freedom. See, in Russian, and usually in Russian and communist countries, you have a few people that have all the money. And those are the communists. And everybody else is in they're in destitution. They have nothing. I mean, Kern used to talk about his father. We used to go to Russia, and he saw how the communists fed these people. They just, they'd open up these big containers full of pig guts. Just open it up because people were starving to death because of the communist system, you know. They made everybody equal except for them. Everybody was equal. Everybody was in destitution. So the people just eating these guts, just people just charging for these pig guts and animal and dirty intestines and full of manure and stuff and eating them, just eating as fast as they could. They were starving to death. This is communism, but the Americans now want communism. They want socialism. They want communism. By creating equal opportunity in the protocol plan of God, God has guaranteed that in heaven, there'll be great inequality. For there are always some people who will use their equal opportunity and others will not, no matter what you say. Eileen and I met a young girl, very attractive young girl, and she told us she was Christian. And we asked her if she had any interest in learning the spiritual life. Zip. Zero. She was honest. She said, zero. We said, "Don't you sure you don't want to learn about God's plan for your life?" No. There you go. That's your hope. She may go to some of these rallies. You think that's going to be the answer? With her attitude? A lot of people that go to these rallies, they have the same attitude. They're not interested in learning the spiritual life. It takes more than the rallies to make America great again. At the rate of positive listening in the United States, it doesn't look good. We may not even be a client nation, as a matter of fact. We don't know. As a matter of fact, that's kind of a moot question. Are we a client nation or not? The question is, are we a blessing to other nations? That's be one good. And if we're a good client nation, we'd be a blessing to other nations. I think the answer is pretty clear. We're not a blessing to other nations. Unless you've got your head in the sand. From every viewpoint, and we sent missionaries out. At one time, there was about 2,500, 3,000 missionaries in Chiang Mai, Thailand. You'd see gospel tracts all over the place. I'd pick them up. Never, ever did I find one gospel tract that was correct. All would bring in someplace you'd always. One time I thought it was real close. I almost got to the end and finally brought in the works. Not one. I didn't find one in all those years I lived in Chiang Mai, 18 years. That ever find one gospel tract that was correct. Moving on, in the name of the greater good for the greater number, that's what our government now believes, the government commits crimes. Like I told you, right now FEMA is authorized and came a crisis, everything closed down, they're authorized to go door to door. And they will come in with police, some type of police. And they'll come in, and you won't have any choice but to open that door and let them comb through your house, checking your closets, checking wherever, your freezers, your refrigerators, and they will decide whether or not you have above your share. Because the greater number for the greater good. They don't care about privacy. They don't care about property. They will decide, not you. They will decide. If you argue, well, then you can go to court and you go to prison, or you just go straight to prison. You're not going to argue with them. I was surprised one time, maybe the auto shop that I deal with, what they call it now, they call these mechanics as tech people because they have to know so much about computers, that FEMA would visit his shop. I said, FEMA? Yeah, they even come to businesses here. I said, why would FEMA need to come to your business? He said, they were checking for something. And you have to just treat them like royalty almost. Bureaucrats, you got to treat like royalty. I know this one guy in the Philippines, even the Philippines, you know, the mayor came to this guy's house. I knew this guy. And I think it was the mayor's birthday, so he had made a birthday cake. He knew the mayor was coming to his house. You know, because you gotta really, you know, treat bureaucrats like to be treated like royalty. But they're on the bottom of the totem pole, but they want to be treated like royalty. If you don't treat them like royalty, you could be in for a rough time. This guy was a pastor of a church, but he knew he didn't want to get in trouble with the mayor. So the mayor would stop by his house once in a while. He wouldn't wine him, but he would dine him to some extent. In the name of the greater good for the greater number, the government commits crimes, sets itself above the law, and therefore destroys the laws which protect our freedom, privacy, property, and lives. Socialism and Marxism are anti-freedom and anti-God. Though many Christian organizations advocate their false doctrines and try to merge them with Christian doctrine. Without freedom, the individual cannot have a destiny. Without authority or establishment, one cannot have freedom. But it's got to be authority under a harness and properly exercised. Cosmic panaceas are designed to promote the rule of Satan on earth. Now, we're not going to talk about international, but that's another issue. God emphasizes nationalism, not international. There probably I should have been in there someplace, but I didn't put that in there. Again, Satan, but under this concept, cosmic panaceas are designed to promote the rule of Satan on earth. I did give an example before. I didn't write it down. Is the central banks. The central banks got control of our money. The Treasury initially under our Constitution, they were in charge of that, and the Congress, I guess, should regulate our money, not a private banking cartel. We turned that responsibility over to a private banking cartel in 1913 when we had a liberal nut as president, President Wilson. They just handed that responsibility over to what they called the Fed, which was, they used that name to deceive people, because people hear the word Fed. Most people thought their whole lives that the Fed means they're part of the federal government. No way. They got even shares. They're a international banking card. They're not for the United States. How can they be an internet? Think about it. How can they be an international banking cartel and be wanting to help the United States? They have to say the same thing to every country they're in. Are they helping every country? Does that make sense to you? I repeat, they're an international banking cartel. They're in it for their own good. They don't care about the United States. They don't care about Ireland. They don't care about France. Wherever they're located, they're in it for their own pocket. And they're becoming extremely wealthy because they can print out of thin air. And they're the first ones who can use that money. So people think, and people, Americans listen to the Fed, they think the Fed has got our interests in at heart. But see, you don't understand the Fed. How can they have your interest in heart when they're a private, international banking cartel? But they tell every nation the same thing. They're working for that nation. They want to help that nation control their inflation. That sounds ridiculous. And they keep printing money. You're not going to bring inflation under control when you keep printing money. You realize before 1913, the dollar never inflated? From the beginning of the dollar to 1913, the dollar remained absolutely strong, never lost any purchasing power whatsoever. From 1913 to the present moment, 98% has gone, disappeared, inflated. It's only worth, as it was way back in 1913, it's only 2%, about 2 pennies left of that dollar. Because they keep printing. That's how you cause inflation. Prices don't go up. Meat doesn't go up. The value of the dollar goes down. You keep printing more and more currencies, then that should make sense to you if you've got a brain that's logical. You keep printing more and more of the currency, then the value is going to go down, 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 down. You get more and more in circulation. So the Fed turned out to be an extremely wealthy organization. But they don't have... The New York Fed doesn't, they're part of the Fed. They don't have you in, they don't have trying to help the United States. That's a joke. But most people think that. And then the Fed in Japan, that's to help the Japanese. The Fed in UK is to help the United Kingdom. They're all part of the same, they're part of the international banking cartel. How can they be helping all the countries? Cosmic panaceas are designed to promote the rule of Satan on earth. That's what relaxes you. I realize that. So I don't get up. That's okay. That's Satan's system. Satan's always going to try to use these things and deceive people. And it's not hard to deceive people. All you have to do is keep telling the lie over and over and over again, and pretty soon people are deceived. And we keep pressing, we keep saying that the Ukrainians are defeating the Russians. Yes, there's about 500,000 Ukrainians now dead. And not many Russians. And we just keep saying that, and we try to prove it. And whoever makes these things, and apparently it's nothing but a bunch of lies. And now since we're not doing very well, now I guess NATO and the United States are giving the Ukrainians their permission to fire missiles deep into Russia. Well, that's an act of war, obviously. So what is Putin doing now? He's got the fleet right outside of Cuba, 90 miles off the shores of Cuba. I mean, off the shores of Florida. They're going to dock in Cuba and probably drop off some missiles there. So that, like we're doing in the Ukraine, we're using the Ukrainians to fight the Russians as a proxy. They're going to use apparently Venezuela now and Cuba. And they're going to set up things there because we're doing there. That's tit for tat. Or maybe they'll just fire the missiles themselves. Right now, they're right out there. They could knock out the entire East Coast with the Zircon missile they have, a hypersonic missile. And the nuclear subs, they got nuclear subs, they got all kinds of these missiles, and they're allowed to be right next to the United States. We're so powerful, we're fighting in the Ukraine, we're so powerful, and we can't stop the people coming across the border, and we can't even stop a fleet from coming right into our backyard. Or we don't have the moral courage to do it, we don't have anything to stop. For one reason or another, we're not stopping them. They're right there. You don't let the enemy come in with missiles, come right next to your shoreline. That's what's happening. So, again, the devil is the ruler of the world, and what can I say? It's okay. Even if they fired some missiles, that'd probably be okay too. Probably wake up some Americans. If they're going to fire a missile, if they asked me, I'd tell them where to shoot the first one. I would go aim northeast, that's what I would do. Along the, not too far from the coastline. And maybe we'd be better off. We'd lose some good men, but we'd get rid of a lot of evil people at the same time. But the problem is we got evil people all over the United States, even in Texas. Satan is the ruler of this world in name, but he becomes ruler in effect through the arrogance of believers and unbelievers who cooperate to help his regime through crusader arrogance and cosmic panaceas. See, that's the problem, is people. One made the United States great at one time. We had a lot of Christians that were learning Bible doctrine. There's no substitute for truth. Once truth is gone, I mean, you're going to be taken in. You can't defeat Satan. Satan is too smart for us. When Christians don't think it's important to learn Bible doctrine, then they become Satan's pawn. There's a lot of nice people that want to help the United States, but they're not doing it because they don't understand, and they're really a pawn of Satan. You can't fight Satan unless you've got truth in your soul, because Satan is a lot smarter than we are. History has demonstrated the failure of the cosmic panaceas in the devil's world. Crusader arrogance and his resulting cosmic panaceas add up to a false premise, and there's no solution to life based on a false premise or a false conclusion. See, we could, but see, one thing, even when I was younger and the colonel used to say we were very close to a war, we could easily enter a war, it used to really upset me because my soul wasn't prepared for that. Now, I take it with a grain of salt, really. I wake up and there's missiles flying in. I would just say, okay, I mean, we're in a war. That's all. I said, we just take it day by day. And all of a sudden a bomb hits our backyard. And I said, okay, Eileen, I'd tell Eileen, I think you lost some vegetables. And it looks like they got one of our squirrels. But I wouldn't get too excited because the Lord takes care of those that are advancing spiritually, and we'll get through it. And like I was mentioning before Bible class, that the Lord protects advancing believers. And so we can enjoy even, there's nothing you can do about it. So you just got to sit back and I wouldn't use the word enjoy, but you can stay relaxed. You shouldn't get uptight because there's nothing you can do about it. When leadership becomes so psychopathic, you're going to go to war. Look at a lot of the world rule. Look at it in France. And then in Germany, Scholz and then Macron. These people are just unbelievable, arrogant fools in our country. So and then the UK, you got this Indian up there. Sunak, whatever his name is, running the Great Britain. He don't care about freedom. He's another liberal. All these countries ruled by liberals and just in the European Union. They give these people all these big names like this is the Secretary General. Probably never spent a day in the military. He's called the Secretary General. Some guy has a lot of power in the European Union and all this kind of stuff. But once you realize Satan has ruled the world and you're not going to stop anything, and when people reject truth, these things are going to happen. Then you stay relaxed. So the banks close tomorrow, and I'm not going to get excited. They stay closed for 5 weeks or maybe never open up again. Still not going to get excited. And if FEMA comes to the door and takes all whatever we have, they redistribute it. And all of a sudden, missiles and airplanes and bombers are flying overhead. I say, okay, we're at war. Okay. Still one day at a time doesn't change anything. But at one time, it would have unnerved me. Not anymore. Sometimes Eileen and I talk, what if one goes to war if the other one goes ahead of time? Then what? Okay. I said, you know, if Eileen ever went, not my age, I certainly wouldn't get married again. That'd be it. But I don't know what I would do. Eileen thought she'd probably stay here. So if I went, but hopefully I'll be around for another 5 or 10 years. But hopefully she should be. But you never know. A lot of things can happen. But she wanted to know if I would find a lovely home for Lily. I said, no, I wouldn't because I would figure as my responsibility, I would still keep the dog. I mean, it'd be hard for me, but I would. Wouldn't get a bath every week, probably once a month. That changed a few things. But I wouldn't pawn Lily off, even the dog off, because it's our responsibility, and she's been very loyal to us. So I wouldn't, even if she had a good home, I wouldn't do it that way. I would still take the dog. I'd still keep the dog. If something happened, we'd do these things once in a while. What would you do if I went to heaven, or what would you do if you went to heaven? And Eileen said, you go out and find a young woman. I said, no, I'm done. Young woman, oh, no, I'm done. I had a good wife. If she goes to heaven early, that's it. I'm satisfied. No more wives. It takes a long time to adjust, and I'm too old to adjust. So I wouldn't get rid of the dog either. It'd be hard for me because Eileen does a lot of things that it'd be hard for me to do. But I would do them anyways because it's my responsibility. Gate 5, cosmic degeneration. Okay, we started 5 minutes late, but that's okay. Let's check the time before we start this thing. We have to go a little bit because we're only about 48 minutes in. We'll start anyways. Maybe we'll get to gate 5. Cosmic degeneration. Degeneration is defined here as deterioration or retrogression of born-again believers who constantly live in Satan's cosmic system. That's most of the believers in the United States. I got to emphasize these things because sometimes it's easy to think that, you know, all these lovely Christians are supporting big movements that are good movements, but they're in the cosmic system. Most of them are in the cosmic system. They're working for Satan. So you can be in a cosmic system and still have some common sense and still have some pro-establishment viewpoint because you haven't been in the cosmic system long enough. That's what I was trying to convey the other day. You know, you're in the cosmic, it depends how long you're in the cosmic system. A person doesn't just change overnight. You're brought up with the laws of divine establishment. And now you're a Christian, rejected the spiritual life. But it takes time before all that is reversed. So you still might be somewhat patriotic, but you're in the cosmic system as a believer if you're not learning the spiritual life. And you're slowly, your views are being changed. I mean, someday you may be a screaming liberal. But you always got to realize it takes time. People don't just, you're in the cosmic, so you're totally evil. No, it takes time. they deteriorate spiritually and retrogress so that they go from one category of degeneration to another. Basically, degeneration means to become worse. Under cosmic degeneration, the standards and modus operandi of the believer who lives in the cosmic system declines, step by step by step, not overnight. Hence, degeneration in the cosmic system is a process of deterioration, passing from a higher to a lower status quo. I know even Terry Wilson once said he meets a lot of Christians that are very concerned about the direction that our country is headed in, but they don't have the solution. See, they still have some establishment because they haven't been in the cosmic system that long. They were taught a lot of good principles when they were young and they're from their parents. But they're not learning. There's a lot of confusion, and they don't know the answer. But they're still somewhat establishment oriented, because again, you got to realize to become completely anti reverse process reversionism, it takes a long time. Where you hate your country, and a lot of these Christians they don't. That's why they support some of these movements, but they're really not helping the country because they're in the cosmic system. They're the enemy of the cross of Christ because they're not advancing spiritually. They don't have the harness. Grow in grace and in knowledge. That's the harness. They rejected the harness. Like I told you, that lady, she's a real nice young lady we met. She made it very clear she was a Christian. She understood the cross, seemed like, very well. Are you interested in learning the spiritual life? No. She said maybe her boyfriend is, but she's not. That's all. We had to respect her volition. That's the problem. Cosmic degeneration rejects the doctrine and the power of the protocol plan of God for the church age believer. Cosmic degeneration means that the believer either does not understand or rejects the recovery procedure. So you got to understand, most Christians don't understand the recovery procedure. The 10 problems of devices, how many Christians understand that? The indwelling of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the power of God's thinking, metabolizing the soul, they think that's not even important. The significance of the new spiritual species and the unique ministry of God, the Holy Spirit, in the church age, etc. Just to mention a few things. There are two categories of cosmic degeneration, namely immoral degeneration, which is obvious, and moral degeneration, which is not so obvious. When the believer prolongs his residence in a cosmic system, he begins to deteriorate spiritually, so he moves toward his area of weakness, which can be immoral or moral degradation. The immoral degeneration includes such things as crime, violence, sexual perversion, and drug addiction. All this goes back to a basic rejection of authority in the home, disobedience to their parents. That's where it starts. As per 2 Timothy 3:2, it's mentioned in there. And at God consciousness, awareness. Unbelievers reject God at God consciousness. Romans, here he explains in Romans 1:24-25. Describes such a person who rejects God at awareness or God consciousness. Quote, therefore, God delivered them over. How did God deliver them? By allowing their volition to function freely. God never just turns you into evil. God cannot have anything to do with sin or evil. When it says God turned them over to do this and do that, it means he permitted their volition to function. To the lust of their right lobe. See, God didn't turn them over to the lust of the right lobe. I'll turn you over to the lust button. I'll fix you. Now you're going to have sexual lust. I did it. No, God doesn't cause people to have sexual lust or criminal lust, chemical lust. He allows them to have free will. And they rejected truth. See, now they have no defense against sin nature. See, when you reject truth, the only thing that protects people is truth. What protects us? It's truth in our soul. We say no to this, no to that. To the lust of the right lobes, to an immoral status. Now, to an immoral state, to blackout and scar tissue soul, that their bodies might be degraded among themselves. Verse 25. They who exchange the doctrine from God for a lie. They both worship and serve the creature rather than the creator who is blessed forever. End quote. When the believer becomes immoral, he sometimes shocks himself and often concludes that he is not saved. He says, I don't think I'm saved. He shocks himself. Or he is convinced of this by his friends. Some of his friends tell him, you can't be saved and do what you just did. Nevertheless, these things occur among believers every day. For example, Abraham committed adultery with the Egyptian Hagar. Here's what's interesting. People, when Christians hear the Egyptian Hagar, it sounds like she's the ugliest person on the face of the earth. Hagar was no ugly woman. She was a young, very attractive young woman. And when Sarah says, Abraham, I can't produce an offspring for you. Why don't you sleep with Hagar? People, a lot of think that Hagar, sounds like an ugly witch, but she was very attractive. Some of these young girls, in some of these countries, are very good looking. And Abraham said, well, if you insist, sweet, I believe in being loyal to my wife, but in being faithful to my wife, but if you insist, okay, I'll do it. Not my idea, but your idea. He didn't argue too much. So that tells you she must have been a pretty good looking woman. So don't get the idea when you read the word Hagar. It sounds like, repulsive person, but she was not repulsive. See, Hagar walked in here as she was before Abraham. She walked in right now. You go, whoa, that's one good looking chick. David committed adultery with the Jewish Bathsheba. She was also very attractive. And then murdered her Gentile husband, an honorable believer and a general in David's army. Paul mentions a partial list of sins that were prevalent among the Galatians, Christians, in Galatians 5:19. Quote, now the works of the flesh, the sin nature, are plainly seen, such as, plainly seen by the Galatians, a representative list, fornication, including adultery, mental defilement from wrongdoing, and sexual sins relate to abnormality and criminality and licentious behavior. End quote. The born-again believer in the cosmic system is far worse, generally, than the degenerate unbeliever. Generally, not always. Because the believer must go through far more systems of resistance to do what he does. Consequently, many of the worst people on the face of the earth are degenerate believers. See, now let me see here. I think we're going to stop right there. We've got to have a stopping point someplace here. We'll stop right there. Let's bow our heads. Father, sir, we thank you for this biblical information this evening. We appreciate it. We know that God, the Holy Spirit, will utilize for our spiritual growth and take us all the way to spiritual maturity and beyond to the point of taking evidence testing. And at that point, we will glorify the three members of the Trinity to the maximum, both in time and in the eternal state. We pray all these things in Christ's name. Amen.